Okay, namaste and hari om. This is your host Kishore Trivedi, welcoming you to this episode of Know Your Dharma program. This podcast is an initiative of the Hindu Society of North Carolina. All the past recordings can be found in the bottom table under the KYD tab of hsnctemple.org. Today, I'm very happy to welcome our guest, Dinesh Patel, and his topic today is the Somnath Temple. Some of you may recall that I interviewed Dinesh Bhai for an earlier episode of this show when the topic was Bhakta Kavi Narsi Mehta, the composer of Vaishnava Janato Tene Rekaiye. So Dinesh Bhai, please tell us about this sacred Somnath Temple.
Hari Om, Kishore Bhai. I'm happy to be back. Before I start sharing information about Somnath Temple, let me briefly tell you how Meera and I got interested in Somnath Temple. We have a puja group of 6 to 7 families that was formed in Spartanburg, South Carolina. As part of activities, we decided each family to select religious person or place, do search, and then lead discussion when we meet. When our turn came, we decided to talk about Somnath Temple because we had visited it in the past. But that visit was just as a visit to any temple. We did not know, and frankly, did not attempt to find out about its history. As we searched further for the discussion, we found so many interesting things. I mentioned this because we believe, and I know all members of the group will agree, that this type of exercise is very informative and everyone comes to know so many different things. I share this to plant the seed of thought among audience members if they would like to try this approach. So going to the discussion of Somnath Temple, it is a temple dedicated to Bhagwan Shivji and is located on the Arabian Sea in the Saurashtra part of Gujarat. It is in the town of Veravel, which was known as Prabhas Patan in olden times. It is believed to be the first among 12 Adi Jyotirlings, shrines of Shivji, and hence it is one of the most sacred pilgrimage sites for Hindus. Now, Adi means first, Jyoti means light, and Ling is a symbol of Bhagwan Shivji. So these are the first radiant signs of Bhagwan Shivji.
Great. So Dinesh Bhai, tell us more about this notion of Jyotirling.
Shiv Puran has a recorded incident that occurred thousands and thousands of years ago. When Bhagwan Vishnu and Brahmaji were debating as to who was the highest being, that conversation devolved into a quarrel. Then Bhagwan Shivji appeared, hoping to put an end to that quarrel. He manifested as an infinite pillar with light at each end and told them both that whoever found the light first would be the ultimate being. They both headed in different directions, and after a while, neither of them could discover the pillar's end. Bhagwan Vishnu confessed the defeat, while Brahmaji lied and said he did find the top. Shivji became enraged when he saw the Brahmaji lying and cursed him that no one will worship him henceforth, even though he is the creator of universe. And I think that is why we do not see many temples dedicated to Brahmaji. Only one I know is in Pushkar, which is in Rajasthan.
Now, this is a beautiful story from which I'd like to learn several lessons. First, that the ultimate reality is unfathomably infinite. Brahman is described as Anant in Taittiriya Upanishad. Anant means infinite. Second, the ultimate reality is pure consciousness, that is the light of all lights. It illumines the sun, moon, and the stars. Its reflected consciousness in our minds makes our minds function. Third, there is often a temptation to lie or bend the truth in our lives, sometimes for material gain, sometimes for emotional reasons, and sometimes for intellectual reasons. But short-term gain, possibly accruing from such acts, which is called prayas in Katha Upanishad, should be shunned for shreyas, or the inherently good. Otherwise the consequences will have to be borne, like Brahmaji had to, which may be severe, as in this story. No matter how important we think we are, if you're Brahmaji, you think you are immune to all this. So these are the lessons to be learned from the story. Story itself may not be taken literally. So please continue.
Bhagwan Shivji that manifested himself as pillars of light that appear on the earth in 64 locations. Only 12 of those 64 locations are major, and they are today recognized as India's 12 Adir Jyotirlings. Bhagwan Shivji resides in some form of deity in each Jyotirling and blesses all the devotees. Many Hindu texts provide a list of these sacred Shiva pilgrimage sites, all either directly or indirectly mention the Shivling at Somnath Temple as the first and the oldest one.
So there is this Dwadash Jyotirling Stotra that is very famous, that describes the names of these 12 major shrines. And I would like to play this being sung by Bhai Sri Ramesh Bhai Oza, if that is all right with you. And let's see if it works. Okay.
Dvadasha Jyotirlingani Saurashtre Somanathancha Shri Shaile Mallikarjunam Ujjayinyam Mahakalam Omkaram Amaleshwaram Paralyam Vaidyanathancha Dakinyam Bhima Shankaram Setu Bandhe Tu Ramesham Nagesham Dharuka Vane Varanasyam Tu Vishvesham Trambakam Gautami Tate Himalaye tu kedaram dushmesham cha shivalaye etani jyotirlingani sayam pratah padhennarah sapta janma kritam papam smaranena vinashyati
Beautiful. So you want to explain the meaning of this particular stotra?
So in first one, Ramesh Bhai says, in Saurashtra part of Gujarat is the Somnath Temple, and at Sri Shailam is the Mallikarjun Temple. At Ujjain is a Mahakaleshwar Temple, and at Omkara is the Amleshwar Temple. Then on the second stanza, he adds that at Pali is the Vaidyanath, and at Dakini is the Bhimkareshwar.
Bhimashankar.
At Sedu Bandh is the Rameshwar, and at Darukavan is the Nageshwar. Then at the end, he explains that at Varanasi is the Vishwanath, and at the bank of river Gautami or Godavari is the Trambyakeshwar, at Himalaya is the Kedarnath, and at Shivalaya is the Grineshwar.
Grishneshwar.
These Jyotirlings, those persons who recite during the evenings and mornings, these recitations have power to destroy the bad karmas of the past 7 births.
So actually, I've been to all 12 of them. Let's try to pin down precisely the locations for those of the listeners who might be interested in visiting.
So, Kishore Bhai, if you look at it, the geographical locations, as mentioned earlier, Somnath is in Prabhaspatan, which is in Saurashtra region of Gujarat. Mallikarjun is on mountains near Sri Shailam, part of Andhra Pradesh. Mahakaleshwar Ling is in Ujjain, Madhya Pradesh. Omkareshwar is on an island in Narmada River in Madhya Pradesh. Vaidyanath is in Deogarh district of Jharkhand. Bhimshankar Ling is near Pune, Maharashtra. Rameshwar Ling, which is the southernmost, is at Rameshwaram, Tamil Nadu. Nageshwar in Almora area of Uttarakhand. Vishwanath Ling is in Varanasi, Uttar Pradesh. Trimbakeshwar is near Nasik, Maharashtra. Kedarnath is in Himalayas in Uttarakhand. Grishneshwar Ling is near Ellora Caves, Maharashtra.
Now, so several of them, there are some multiple opinions. So, for example, Nageshwar, there is a claim of Nageshwar in Gujarat as well as in Uttarakhand. Similarly, Vaidyanath, there's a claim in Jharkhand as well as in Maharashtra. So, 2 or 3 of them are maybe not certain as to the location, but 9 of them are for sure. Please go on.
So, as we can see, all the links are in all parts of India, north, south, east, west, and central.
And each of them has their own beautiful stories behind. So, but please tell us about the specific story and the specific reason for the name Somnath Temple.
Sure. In our Puran, there is mention of sage Daksha Prajapati, who was son of Brahmaji, who created him from his mind.
So Manasputra, it's called Manasputra, right?
Yeah, that's why it's called Manasputra, that's right. Daksha had 27 daughters, and he married them to Chandra Dev, Bhagwan Moon. Having obtained Chandra as their husband, the girls became happy. Similarly, Chandra also was happy. However, of all the 27 wives, Chandra only loved Rohini and neglected the other 26. The other wives, with sorrowful heart, went to their father and narrated their sorrows. Daksha felt sad hearing their stories. He went to Chandra and told him to be kind towards all his wives. He told not to repeat such impartial behavior in future. Chandra, however, became overpowered by Shiv Maya and did not follow the advice of Daksha. And he continued to be attracted toward Rohini and did not honor the other wives as before. Daksha arrived at the residence of Chandra and cursed him to suffer from Kshaya Roga, disease of consumption. The curse took immediate effect, and Chandra became affected with the disease and lost his luster or brightness. He became worried. also realizing effect of these on earth, meaning no brightness of moon on earth, all sages and deities became worried too. They went to Brahmaji and sought his refuge. Brahmaji told them about earlier misdeeds of Chandra, like abducting Tara, the wife of Brihaspati, and said that this suffering will check his misconducts. Brahmaji also gave remedy. If Chandra goes to Prabhas Kshetra and worships Shivji by performing Mrityunjay Mant Puja, then by grace of Shivji, he can get rid of his ailment. Chandra went to Prabhas Kshetra, which was on the banks of river Saraswati, and performed tap for 6 months uninterruptedly. He recited the Mrityunjay mantra 10 crores of times and meditated on that mantra with a still mind, calm mind. Kishorebhai, maybe our audience would like to know about Mrityunjay mantra.
Surely. But I also would like to mention that river Saraswati doesn't exist today, and many people concluded that it never existed in the mythical. But it turns out that the river did exist, and it dried up around 1900 BCE. And this has been demonstrated that river existed and dried up. So in fact, the Saraswati River existed, and much of our development of our Sanatan Dharma took place around the river Saraswati. And the Triveni Sangam that is there in Prayag, which has now only two rivers meeting, Ganga and Yamuna, had a Saraswati also meeting there, and it was there. But 1900 BCE is when the Saraswati dried up. So now let's do the Mahamrityunjay mantra. And once again, I will play a well-recorded one, somebody singing very well.
Priyamrutam yajamahe sugandhim pushtivardhanam urvarukamiva bandhanan mrityor mukshiyamamritat.
So this was an album by Pandit Ravi Shankar in which this particular mantra, among many other mantras, are recited. So this mantra basically says that we offer our worship to the fragrant three-eyed Bhagavan Shivji, who confers ever-increasing prosperity. Like the fully ripened cucumber is easily snapped from its stem, may my death be equally easy, and may we not be bereft of the nectar of immortality. So this is a very important mantra for doing havan or at the time of somebody sick and so on. Please go on.
I would like to add that this mantra was composed by Bhagwan Shivji's devotee, Markandeya. In our tradition, he's considered one of the 8 Chiranjeevs.
Chiranjeevs, yes, very good. You mean one whose life is eternal, right?
Yes, they are considered to live among us all the time.
Please continue.
Bhagwan Shivji became pleased with Chandra and appeared before him. Shivji told him to ask for a boon. Chandra asked Mahadev to give him back his brightness. Shivji relieved Chandra from the curse. Bhagwan Shivji said that in one Paksha, and Paksha is fortnight, 15 days, his brightness will get reduced gradually, and in the next Paksha, his brightness will increase gradually.
Well, so that's how we have Krishna Paksha and Shukla Paksha, two halves of the months. Interesting, isn't it?
So all deities and sages also reached there and blessed Chandra. Then they offered their salutation to Bhagwan Shivji and requested him to stay there with Devi Parvati. Bhagwan Shivji became pleased with them and stayed there in the form of Someshwar, which is Somnath Jyotirling. The deities also created a kund known as Chandra Kund. It is believed that by worshipping and taking bath in the kund, one becomes free from all sins and one becomes relieved of disease like consumption, leprosy, etc.
So the kund actually is the Sanskrit word for lake. And in the South India, they call it a tank. So many of the temples have a lake attached to them. And that's what this kund is. Please tell us further about the history of the Somnath temple, Dineshbhai.
Kishore Bhai, my search leads me to believe that there were two phases of temple construction. Research based on ancient Indian classical texts show that at the current location, there was a temple called Prabhas Patan Tirth. There is a mention of this tirth in Puran and in Mahabharata. This was first built as a golden temple by Moon in Satyug, then as a silver temple by Ravan in Tretayug, and then as a sandalwood temple by Bhagwan Krishna in Dwaparyug. There is a reference that Bhagwan Krishna spent his final days here and then left to go for Dwarka.
Yes, then he gets his hit by an arrow at the sole of his foot and leaves this earth. Very, very interesting. What is the second phase of Somnath temple construction, Dineshbhai?
That is based on archaeological study, and that indicates that it was constructed between the years 320 and 500 CE with the architecture of Chalukya style, which reflects expertise of the Sompuras, who were master masons of Gujarat at that time. The temple had a main spire of 150 feet high and had a flag post of 27 foot tall. A kalash of the weight of 10 tons was put on the top of spire. It also got named as Somnath and Someshwar temple. Both names indirectly mean Bhagwan Shivji. It showcased our rich culture, our heritage, and immense wealth that India had at that time. It also had become a place of important pilgrimage. Its location was very close to ancient trading port of Veravel, from where Indian merchants departed to trade goods. So temple had become well known, not only within the Indian subcontinent, but also to the outside of Bharat.
Very good, very good. Just a second. So when we mentioned dates, it used to be that we use BC and AD, before Christ and Anno Domini. But more modern way of describing these dates are BCE and CE. BCE stands for before the common era and CE stands for common era. And so what used to be called BC is now called BCE, same dates. And what used to be called AD is now called CE. So we use that modern terminology. So please continue.
Okay, so in 1026 CE or 1026 AD, during the reign of King Bhim I, the Turkic Muslim ruler Muhammad of Ghazni raided and plundered the Somnath temple, broke its jyotirling, and took away a fortune. He had his sight on Somnath because temple was full of gold, silver, and precious stones, and temple was symbol of Hinduism. By ruining it, he wanted to prove superiority of Muslim religion over Sanatan Dharma and of course get all the loot from the temple. But temple got rebuilt, but later on again got destroyed 5 to 6 more times. Each destruction was followed by rebuild. Rajput kings fought valiantly but could not match the strength of Muslim plunderers' army. There is a reference to one of the Rajput kings chasing the Muslim invader all the way to Delhi and bringing the Shivling back.
I think lastly it was destroyed by Aurangzeb and then Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel directed to rebuild it. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's right. On 12 November 1947, India's Deputy Prime Minister Vallabhbhai Patel went to Junagadh and directed the reconstruction of Somnath Temple. When he, Kanhaiyalal Munshi, and other leaders of Congress went to Mahatma Gandhi with the proposal to reconstruct the Somnath Temple, Gandhiji blessed the move, but suggested that funds for the construction should be collected from the public and the funds should not come from the state. After Gandhiji's and Sardar Patel's death, the task of reconstruction of the temple continued under Kanhaiyalal Munshi. The ruins were pulled down in October 1950, and the mosque present at that site was shifted a few kilometers away. After 4 years of construction, in May 1951, Dr. Rajendra Prasad, the first president of India, performed the installation ceremony for the temple, and he said in his address, "The Somnath Temple signifies that the power of reconstruction is always greater than the power of destruction."
Beautiful.
If you all remember, it was destroyed 4 or 5 times, but still every time after destruction, it was reconstructed.
Very good.
At present, there is a complex in which there is Somnath Temple with Shivling, Sri Vinayak Temple, which will be Ganpati, Sri Hanuman Temple, and Ahalyabai Temple, which was built by Queen Ahalyabai in 1782. Kishorbai, it is important to mention that temple's position is quite unique. The temple is positioned in such a way that not a single piece of land is visible from Somnath seashore until South Pole. There's an arrow located on the temple which points to the South Pole, located at about 9,936 kilometers away. Also, there is a Vallabh Ghat in honor of Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel, which is a beautiful sunset point. The temple is illuminated every evening, and sound and light show called Jai Somnath is performed every night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., which allows the pilgrims an exquisite experience in the backdrop of Grand Somnath Temple and the holy sound waves from the ocean.
Beautiful, beautiful. So actually, I would like to emphasize three important personalities that were mentioned by you. One is, of course, Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel, to whom we owe a lot to him for the existence of India as it is today. Kanhaiyalal Munshi, who was very strongly involved in so many different things, including the Hyderabad Nizam fight, as well as Somnath Temple. And also, he's the one who started Bharati Vidya Bhavan. So Kanhaiyalal Munshi is a very, very important person to consider in our modern India. And Ahilyabai Holkar, she is a wonderful ruler of Malwa before the British rule in India. And she was, even though she was in Malwa, she helped reconstruct many, many temples all around India, including, as you mentioned, Somnath and Varanasi and so on. And one can also see pictures of the Somnath Temple by visiting the website www.somnath.org. Please continue.
You mentioned about Kanhaiyalal Munshi and Bhartiya Vidyapeeth. There was a school in Vilepalle. That's where I studied my third grade, which was part of the Bhartiya Vidyapeeth.
Very good.
By Kanhaiyalal Munshi. And I think Kanhaiyalal Munshi was the Minister of Culture?
Yeah.
Or Minister of Agriculture?
Yeah.
Or something.
But he's one of the topmost authors in Gujarati literature, of course.
So you mentioned that somnath.org. Also, there is a Temple 360 website, which gives you a virtual tour of Somnath Temple along with other pilgrimage sites of India. As I mentioned, we visited Somnath Temple in 2013, but we went in the afternoon, so we missed the show. Also, we did not know this history, so it remained just as a simple temple visit. I think if we had known this history, we would have enjoyed completely different way.
Wonderful.
So, Kishore Bhai, Jai Somnath, and Hari Om.
Dinesh Bhai, thanks very much for taking the time to pay a return visit to this KYD program of the Hindu Society of North Carolina. Hari Om, and wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.